Hey guys, you're listening to Survey Says, I'd Be the Man edition, featuring me, Mel Maltby, and the amazing Alex McIntosh, aka Tales of a Blonde.
Hello, I'm back.
How are ya?
I'm good. Isolation laws are lifting, so feeling a bit better.
Got the caffeine running through our veins.
So much caffeine.
It's a good day.
It's a bloody good day.
All right, well, welcome to this episode. It is on self-care. We've got questions about getting yourself out of a rut, getting rid of toxic people in your lives, and just how you make yourself feel better when you're feeling down. I think it's also good to talk about, especially now during coronavirus and self-isolation and not being able to talk with friends. A lot of people are getting into a kind of rough headspace and it's hard to deal with life. So I think sharing the information we get from this episode should help you guys listening and help us give us some ideas on how we can feel better about ourselves.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the whole rough headspace during isolation. Definitely have fallen a victim to that, but nonetheless, going to share with you how I'm getting through that today. So that'll be interesting.
Awesome. Well, then let's get into it. If you're new here, hi, hello, welcome to Survey Says, I'd Be the Man. And otherwise, if you're not new here, welcome back. I'm just going to give you a little rundown of how Survey Says works so you know what you're getting yourselves into. For Survey Says, we release a new survey every month, preparing 3 episodes ahead with questions surrounding a different theme each time. It collects the thoughts and opinions of the public, and then we get the pleasure of sharing them with you. The 2 Survey Says editions are I'd Be the Man with Alex, focusing on women's empowerment, feminism, and life experiences, as well as All the Things with Matt Thomas, focusing on nothing specific, just any topic we want to talk about. There is a new episode released each Friday, and you can catch up on what you've missed at surveysayspodcast.com.
Hells yeah, definitely check that out if you're bored in isolation. Very good. Very good pastime.
And speaking of new surveys, there is a new survey up. There are actually 6 new surveys up, 3 for I'd Be the Man and 3 for All the Things. Go check that out so you can get your response in the episode like we're just about to share.
Hells yeah.
Hells yeah. So starting off with the statistics of who responded to this survey. They're exactly the same as the other episodes because it's the same survey, but we'll just give you a little rundown, a little update on who responded.
So 68% of respondents were in the age ranges 18 to 24, and 32% of those were 24 to 54. 63% of those were female, 33% of those were male, and the 4% were other individuals.
Amazing. And with that, with you knowing who responded to the survey, let's move on to the first question of the episode. Question number 1. How have you gotten yourself out of a rut? Alex, how have you gotten yourself out of a rut?
Oh, I feel like I've been in many ruts, especially lately. Yeah. I think the main thing that I think really how I get myself out of a rut is honestly going to therapy. That's my first thing I do, because then that is like the primer for like solving other problems.
It helps you get your thoughts out of there, and so someone else can see it from a different perspective and help you.
Exactly, because I could be a crazy bitch and react really badly to something when it's like I don't have someone going, actually, no, this is realistically what it is. So chill. So that's the first thing I do, and I just day by day, I guess I don't know when I'm out of it. It's just kind of when I start to feel a bit better. What about you? How do you get yourself out of a rut?
Oh, ruts are so interesting. For me, the ruts I've been in, I guess, are the in-between stages of when I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Like, I'm aware that I'm still so young. Like, I'm 21 and I'm still trying to figure out. No, not at all. Like, I'm still trying to figure out where I belong and what industry I kind of want to get myself into. For the most part, I think I'm pretty settled on the media industry. Don't know exactly what kind of sector, but definitely in there. But I've had times in my life where I was straight out of high school and I did 1 year of sound production at TAFE. But then I couldn't get a job from it and I was like, shit, like what am I going to do? I can't get a job from it. I'm like too impatient to sit down and edit songs and record tracks, and it was just too much. It just wasn't me. And so then I took 6 months off and I just worked basically full time, just getting money, getting dollars. I ended up using most of my savings to go on my first overseas trip to New Zealand, which was...
Yes, travel is therapy.
It is, which did... It opened my eyes up to then to travel. I knew I'd always wanted to, but yeah, it opened up my eyes and gave me more experiences and more of an urge to want to travel. But yeah, that 6 months I wasn't progressing, I guess. I was in a relationship, but it was just steady. Like it wasn't going anywhere. And so I was just working full time in retail, and that's not where I want to end up. I wasn't studying. And so by my 20th birthday, which was mid 2018, I was just a mess. I was like in the worst headspace I'd ever been in.
Weren't we all in 2018?
It was just 2018 was a year. It wasn't a good
that
one.
That was a year.
But yeah, by my 20th birthday, I was like, I need to get myself out of this mess. And so I was forced, I guess, by my boyfriend at the time to go to therapy, to see a psychologist, and it helped me so much. And I guess I came to the realization that to help myself, I gotta fix things up.
Yeah,
I guess change my life around. And I at that point I felt like I had no purpose, so I went back to TAFE, found a newfound love for podcasting and radio, and that it lifted me up, gave me a reason to live, I guess you could say. And yeah, it gave me a new purpose, and now I'm here and doing great.
I really like that because I feel like a lot of people in their 20s have that experience where they're in a relationship, something happens, they go through a lot of self-discovery, they're in this awful headspace, and then they're like, hang on, I just want to change that around. So, yeah, I feel like it's really relatable.
Yeah, like a relationship can only help your mental health so much. Just, I guess, touching on it briefly. Actually, one of our upcoming episodes is on relationships, so we'll touch on it more. But in terms of relationships and mental health, at the end of it, you have to know yourself and find yourself and love yourself before you can truly be in a great relationship. Otherwise, you're in a relationship and you lose yourself and you become, you know, lost, which is what happened to me. And then I eventually found myself and ended up being a lot better. And now the relationship I'm in now is the best relationship I've ever been in.
And alas, here we are. Well, I'm single as hell and I'm dating myself, and this is the best relationship I've ever had at this point.
Which is good. You're going through a lot of things. You're getting yourself out of a rut right now, I guess. You're progressing in your life.
I feel like I've been stuck in a rut for like, honestly, like 4 years at this point. And there have been good times. There have been really bad times. And I think with isolation and everything at the moment, prior to isolation, I was kind of seeing someone, not really that serious, and then I just got harder in isolation, it became toxic, and I was like, again, here we go. And I guess I'm just trying to go by the lessons I already learned and then just take them on board and get through that. But nonetheless, I'm in a really good relationship myself at the moment, and that's all that matters, really.
That is all that at the end of the day. You got to be happy with yourself to be happy with anyone and anything. So.
Love yourself before you love someone else, because you can't love someone if you don't value yourself.
There you go. The wise words of Alex McIntosh, Tales of a Blonde.
The tragic words of Alex McIntosh.
Well, with that, let's head into the responses that we got. Go. Let's go.
So the first response says, going off the grid, no phone, drinking tea, watching crime documentaries, journaling helps a lot. I definitely agree. I think I journal every single night and drink tea every single night. So the next respondent says, taking up a new hobby or spending more time with friends and family, making different priorities higher. I like that one.
Yes. I think a lot of people right now have taken up new hobbies.
I love that. A lot of people are gardening.
Gardening?
Yeah, around my area. There's heaps of people out.
Nah. I don't like the outside. for us, we've taken up podcasting. I mean, because one of my jobs shut down due to coronavirus. This has kind of taken its place, and it's a lot more, I like it a lot more than my actual job. So the next response is from a female in the age of 18 to 24. She says, I think logically and communicate with whomever the situation is regarding and come to a resolution calmly and rationally. That's nice. I think for me, it depends on the situation.
Me freaks out, mental breakdown, calls Mel and FaceTime.
Yeah, look, it's fine. We all have our ways of dealing with things. And you, female of aged 18 to 24, I'm jealous of you.
Same.
Next response is from a male aged 18 to 24. He says, write a list. Yes. He also continues to say, seriously, lists make everything doable.
I swear by that. Can I just say that every day in isolation, I have written a list and I have ticked off stuff that I've been doing. I cannot recommend it more.
I had like a mini breakdown the other day. I just like didn't want to do anything, but I had like a lot to do. And so I was just like in my bed, like cuddled up in my sheets. I'm like, I don't want to do anything. And my boyfriend was over and he's like, Mel, get up. I'm like, no, I don't want to. And then he goes off and he writes a list. He's like, record podcast, edit podcast, post podcast, clean the dishes, make your bed, wash things. And so he made a list for me. And
I love that. It's like mind maps as well. My coworker, my boss actually, she does mind maps as well, even for creative or even to get things done. And that's really cool too. Definitely.
I think it's more just getting your thoughts out of your brain and seeing it there. It makes it a lot more understandable and like it's not so overwhelming because it's just, oh, it's just five things in front of you.
Exactly. The next respondent is from a male age range 45 to 54, and he says, be honest about why you're in that rut. Question yourself before blaming others or a situation. Realize no one is going to help you unless you help yourself. Make some small goals you can achieve in relatively short periods and start chipping away. That's very blunt and very true, though.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's
realistic.
Yes, very realistic. It's kind of like you just have to do it. Which is something I've had to slowly come to terms with. Like you have complete control over your life and like your negative thoughts. It is very overpowering and difficult to overcome. But I think lists definitely help that as well. Like we said before, getting them out into paper. But once you
even like pros and cons.
Yeah, love me a good pros and cons list.
So the next respondent is from a female in the age range of 45 to 54, and she says, seeing a doctor to discuss mental health. I do that like monthly.
Yeah, good. It's really helpful.
It's whether so you normal. Are, it's so helpful.
Whether you're at one end, you know, the serious end of the spectrum where you really feel like you truly don't want to exist, to just having an issue in life that you can't quite get past, like a career goal, seeing someone and talking about it helps. It really does. And any end of the spectrum, I think just talking to a professional is, and it's not shameful. Like there is no shame in getting help. And I think it's more people should do that.
Oh, 100%. It's people shame it so much, but it's so healthy. And I think with the blog post that we get a link to this episode, we'll have some links for you to be able to use if you want to get into contact with people or even like lifelines and other specialists around the state as well. So we'll link those because I think it's never too late and there's no shame in talking to someone.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Well said. Next response is from a female in the ages 35 to 44. She says, determination and positive thoughts for the future is how she says she's gotten herself out of a rut. It's just positive thinking, beautiful. Changing the negative thoughts into positive thoughts.
Yeah.
And the final response for how have you gotten yourself out of a rut? From a female ages 18 to 24, she says, getting a new job that I love and trying different things.
Oh, I like that. I feel like you and I have definitely been in that position where changing an environment can change your whole mental health as well. I'm such an environment person, so I definitely believe jobs, in like changing.
Jobs take up 5 out of 7 days. You know, if you're full-time, takes up majority of your life. It really does. It takes over.
Oh, yeah.
Especially you being a manager.
Oh, yeah. You're there 38 hours of the week, even longer.
For me, I just turn up, I work, and I leave. But for you, you turn up, you work, and then you take that work home, and then you always have to be on call, you always have to know what's happening. Like,
you have to be ready to go in as well. You never know what's going to happen. You could go in the next morning when you have a day off because something's gone wrong, or like someone's sick, or like you want to be there for a coworker or something. It's my career.
Your job really does have an impact on being in a rut, your mental health and things like that.
Yeah.
So the results for that question, there wasn't really any results. There was no yes or no kind of percentage outcome. But by the looks of things, I guess people, just got to keep a positive mind, and nothing's going to change if you don't change it. You know, if you keep doing the same thing, you're not going to get any better. All right, moving on to the next question. Have you recently had to let go of a toxic person / people in your life? Which I think comes into turn with getting yourself out of a rut or just making your life better.
Just changing your life overall, people definitely affect how you're feeling. I can definitely vouch for this. Is that the right word? Definitely.
Vouch?
I can definitely vouch for this. Because when I have recently and previously let go of toxic people, I was like, I was a completely different person. I was brand new. I was myself again.
Sometimes it just takes one person to get rid of them, and it just clears up everything.
I just think life's too short to have people who are bringing you down around you, or people that make you feel anxious because they're not texting you and because they don't care. Like, life's way too short for that.
Exactly. I think for me, I've recently let go of, I'd say, two very specific people in the past year that they weren't so bad until like a year ago, like when I had to get rid of them. And I didn't realize how toxic they were till I got rid of them and how better off my life was.
And at the end of the day, they're probably not even bad people. It's just the relationships can become so toxic because you do grow out of people as well. And that's a sad reality.
Exactly right. There's also a whole group of people that I didn't choose to not be their friend anymore. That's a whole situation. But I lost a whole group of friends, you could say. But I didn't know how toxic they were until I wasn't in the group and saw it from the outside and how much drama is actually within it. Now, like, I don't have any groups of friends. Like, I have you, I have my boyfriend. And really, like, that's it, which is totally fine with me.
Yeah, but I guess you don't need heaps of people in your life. Like, I only really have you and then work girls and my aunties.
Yeah, exactly. My two aunties. I think when you get older, you come to the realization of friends, it's quality over quantity.
100%.
You know, at the end of the day, you'd rather have two people that will be there for you all the time versus five people that might hang out with you when they're free. You know, like, fish are always there. You're like, honey, I need a FaceTime. I'm like, I'm on it. You know? Yeah.
No matter where we are, like, we just drop everything. And that's what, like, true friendships are. They're just, you know, balance and you're doing stuff that you would want the other person to do for you in rough times as well. With that, the second question is, have you recently had to let go of a toxic person / people in your life? The first respondent is a female in the age range of 18 to 24, and she says yes. And her response was Facebook purging work people who you had to be friends with to communicate about your shifts when you know they didn't like you. The next response is from a female in the age range of 45 to 54, and she says yes. And her response was a lying, abusive ex-husband.
Oh, get rid of him.
Do not have time. Get rid of it. We don't have time for toxic relationships, and I think I've been in three of them. So,
all relationships are toxic at some point. That's why you get out of them.
At some point. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so the next response was from a male in the ages 18 to 24. He says, yes, he has recently had to let go of a toxic person. His response was, A friend who was just becoming far too negative and self-absorbed to the point where I was afraid to contact him about anything because I would upset him and annoy him. Walking on eggshells doesn't feel very nice.
No. It doesn't feel very nice, does it?
Having to think about everything you say all the time.
No.
It's just... It's definitely
toxic. Yeah, 100%. And it's very toxic if you feel like you have to walk around eggshells with anyone. So it's good that they let that person go in the end because, yeah, screw that.
Next response is from a female in the ages 35 to 44. She says, yes. Who was it? She says, a narcissistic ex-husband. I had allowed him to make me feel small so he could feel bigger. I became afraid of success because I wanted to support him. No one who really loves you should do that.
Period.
I feel like support in relationships is so necessary, you know?
Oh my God, it's so necessary.
For me and my boyfriend especially, our career paths are very different. You know, he's into environmental science and stuff, and I'm into radio and media. And
arts versus academic, really.
It's crazy, but it works. I guess the biggest thing for us is that, like, my career could take me absolutely anywhere, right? And that's kind of scary to think about. Like, I don't know if he could pick up his job and follow me. But, and that's vice versa, like, working in environments, you could work anywhere. But at the end of the day, like, we both know that we both love our jobs and we're going to do the absolute most we possibly can to support each other and still end up together. Like, no matter what the job.
Yeah.
We just know that we got to end up together. And so we support each other all the way through. And that's really important.
See, that's nice. Because, like, when I dated the person who was a musician, you know, it was hard to support them when they were, like, moving all across the country. And then you go and then you waste lots of money and they wouldn't even talk to you anyway. Or, like, wouldn't even make an effort. So it's... Yeah, but, like, that's really healthy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We try. Next response is from a male in the ages 45 to 54. He says, yes. His response is, I do it all the time, even people you feel love for. You have to understand what your limits are and be comfortable enough when you've reached them with anyone to be able to say goodbye in your own head without shutting the door. Who knows? Maybe they'll have an epiphany and rejoin your world in a positive way. Until that happens, it's actually pretty easy to drop someone. You just stop making an effort. That might sound pretty mercenary, but again, it's assuming there's been a stack of effort to have this person have a positive impact on your life and to have a positive impact on theirs. No one, not even family, has the right to make you perpetually miserable.
Exactly right.
I feel that. I really do, especially with my ex.
I resonate with that as well, pretty much, because when I was dating the musician a few years ago, not going to name band names or anything, but basically I left that relationship because toxic. It was just a toxic relationship. And then Mel and I actually were at a gig last year. We were at a concert and he flew down because he moved states as well. He flew down and then ended up finding me and trying to, like, come back into my life as a trying to be a better person. And it's just like, no, I respect it, but just no.
It's a weird thing as well, because when you break up or get rid of someone, and then time passes and then they come back, but you're like, shit, I'm not the same person. You don't fit into my life anymore.
Exactly. Like, you change.
They just don't, you know, they don't belong anymore. Yeah.
So the next respondent was a male in the age range of 25 to 34. And he says, yes, a guy I was seeing who was toxic, who didn't know what he wanted, who was way too confusing and hot and cold. I feel like that's, like, the description of my dating life and people I have dated.
They are very confusing people, everyone you've dated.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like it. I don't understand how all of them can be that way.
Look, I know, we'll wait till the right one comes along. Applications are now open on
talesofablonde.com.
I almost applied for The Bachelor, but Mum said she wouldn't disown me if I did.
should be that mom on The Bachelor that's like, I don't want any part in this. Oh my God, you're getting married.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. The second last respondent was a male in the age range of 18 to 24. And he says, yes. And his response was, I've had to remove toxic friends from my life. I came out as bi and was told they couldn't see me the same again. That makes me so sad. I thought we were past this. That's so toxic, so horrible. I'm sorry to whoever this was that had to go through that. I would not think of you like that. You were a human being.
I feel like the whole gay, bi thing, it's so like 5 years ago. Like if someone is gay, so be it. If someone is bi, so be it. If someone is anything, so be it. We're past this. If anyone discriminates you for your sexuality, it's just like,
yeah,
join.
Like, it doesn't matter. Dysentery. Like, so, you need to calm down, sis.
You need to calm down.
Honestly, I'm so glad that person cut those people out, because I'll be a friend. DM me. We'll be best friends, because screw that.
You can join her clan of gays.
Yeah.
Why are you Taylor Swift, Alex? Why are you Taylor Swift?
And the last respondent was a female in the age range of 18 to 24. And she says, yes. And her response was, I've had many emotionally draining people in my life that only need / want me when they need something from me and drag me down.
Nuh-uh, honey. We are not here for that.
Yeah, you don't need to be drained. That's not a friendship when you're constantly feeling drained.
Those are the responses from the question, have you recently had to let go of a toxic person / people in your life? Now, the responses of yes to no, here we go. All right. So, 52% of people said yes. They have recently had to let go of a toxic person / people in their life, which means 48% of people said no. So, it's almost 50-50 split of who has and who hasn't.
Either those people are really blessed and choose their friends carefully, or
have people they have to let go of.
And like, I encourage you to do that just day by day if you need to.
I think if anyone is bringing you down or questioning who you are or making you feel shit about yourself or not, if someone isn't letting you grow and be a good person, then they're toxic and you shouldn't have them around. Like, that's the line. If they're not letting you be your best self, then it's like, bye. So we are at the tail end of the episode. We're up to the final question. Question number 3 on self-care. Final question. How do you take care of yourself? What do you do to make yourself feel better? I feel like this is the most physical question, I guess. Like, how do you make yourself feel better? Not how do you get rid of other people?
No.
Toxic, blah, blah,
it's
blah.
All you, how do you, honey.
How do you help yourself?
Yeah.
How do you do it, Alex? How do you do it? Tell me your secrets.
My secrets. Okay, so let's just say I've had a really bad day. In general, mental health's really bad. So I like to give myself one of my days off, and I dedicate that to a self-care day. I call it a gist day, get your shit together day. Quoting a blogger that I love. So she does
lovely.
That. So I start off, I wake up, I'll go to the gym. I'll have a really healthy breakfast. Then I'll start to do like cleaning and washing and little things. Read if I want to, and then just kind of relax. Go into the shower, do like a body scrub, hair mask, face mask, all of that. Make my like self feel pretty, or like I'll go get my lashes done, or my eyebrows done. And then I just like to watch Gilmore Girls and like make sure I eat really good, because I struggle with eating, and like I've got an eating disorder. So like I find that I'm not as hard on myself when I'm eating really well, as I'm sure people who go through the same thing understand. But as long as I'm nourishing my body, then I feel fantastic. And I really like to spend that time alone. Or if I'm not alone, I like to be with Mel. So we have a lot of movie nights, stuff like that. But yeah, what about you? How do you take care of yourself?
I think for me, until everything shut down, my favorite thing to do was pole dancing, which was my exercise. It was like an hour, just an hour a week that I would be away from my phone, just in a room full of girls in every shape and size, just going upside down on a pole. And it's
yeah.
And it's
so
it's
good.
Just so much fun, and you're just talking shit with these girls that you don't know, and you're exercising and you're having fun and you're dancing, and dancing makes you feel good for one, and dancing to music and just being around music and being with girls, it was just empowering and fun, and I could just think about myself for an hour, and it was.
I think the gym is very empowering as well. All that.
Yeah, I think it's just more like the. Exercising, which in turn you know you're doing something good for yourself, and just having your own mental health space to do you. Focus on yourself for just that little bit of time.
Yeah, exactly.
But I love spending time with my boyfriend. He makes me so happy, but he is not the source of my happiness.
No, he's an added bonus to your life, really, and you're an added bonus to his. I love spending time with my cat and just chilling
and doing this podcast as well. This is, it's unpaid work, but it makes me feel like I'm doing something with my life and something with
and
my
that's
day
the main
and
thing.
Gets my creative juices flowing, my production juices flowing, makes me just feel good about myself.
Yay.
And that's how I take care of myself, and I wash my hair and shave my legs. Because I really
that makes
do that.
You, all the girls out there, just a face mask can fix your whole day.
And I love eating brownies and watching movies. The Office, The Office. That makes me feel good too. It's very funny.
How the turntables.
All right, so let's move on to the answers of this question from the survey. Answer number one from female ages 18 to 24. She says, baths and playing guitar. Pretty simple. Love it. Simple but effective.
Love it. Simple but effective indeed.
Next is from a female, same age, 18 to 24. She says, how do you take care of yourself? Happiness is all in the power nap.
Amen, sis.
I can't nap.
You can't nap?
I wake up feeling worse.
Oh, no.
Than I was when I went to sleep. It just messes with me, and I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, what day is it? What day is it?
Fair.
Yeah, it makes me feel better just power through it. Look, I have days where I wake up at like 7:30 a.m. Like, for example, yesterday, wake up at 7:30 a.m, worked all day, then went to my dad's for dinner, didn't get home till 11 p.m, didn't get to sleep till 2 a.m. No nap, just one coffee. But I did it. But if I had a nap, I would have gone to shit. I would have felt way worse and less energized. So some days you just gotta power through it.
Yeah.
Next response is from female ages 35 to 44. How do you take care of yourself? Dance, meet up with girlfriends, walk, go to the gym.
Hells yes, sis.
Surround yourself with the girls, do some physical activity. Very nice.
So the next respondent is a female in the age range of 45 to 54, and she says shopping. We love a bit of retail therapy. Can definitely agree with that. 2018, definitely my worst year. All I did was order clothes online, and it made me feel better, and that's all that matters.
Who needs a bank account? Money, you always get money back. Happiness,
exactly.
You need it now. Money, you can get it back.
Exactly. Exactly. The next respondent is a female in the age range of 35 to 44, and her response is gym. I know it's cliche, but going to the gym feels so productive and so energizing, and watching my spreadsheet of progress go higher in ways as weeks go by is so motivating. It's a great detox for the day.
Lovely.
I resonate with this so much. The gym is my life. F45, come through.
Yes.
I am a brand new person. The gym is life-changing, and if you have been contemplating going and you don't go regularly, do it. I'm addicted.
It's so weird. The gym situation, like when I was younger and trying to like get fitter, I was like, exercise is just like so much effort. And it's just like, who grows up, right? Who grows up and wants to go to the gym and wants to eat healthy? Who wants to do that? Like, I want to sit on my ass and eat chocolate all day. That sounds great. But as I've gotten older, like as I've, you know, been... become 20, you know, gotten older, grown up, I started exercising, you know, I took up pole dancing and realized how great that made me feel. And in turn, while dancing, I just was like, oh, well, I've exercised. I feel like a good meal. And so the cycle yeah. would just continue. Like the good meal would make me energized for dancing. Then I'd get home, be hungry and need a big, nice protein and vegetable meal to make me feel better again.
Yeah, nourish.
And then cycle, cycle, cycle. And then it's just like, yes. But then, you know, some days you're just, especially, you know, when you're on your period and just going through that time, like, give me a block of chocolate.
And that's got to listen to your body at the end of the day and fuel it with what it needs.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, I feel like if you know that you've been good to yourself, you know, it's you feel okay about eating that block of chocolate, all those three brownie yeah. slices, because, honey, you deserve it.
The next respondent is a female in the age range of 45 to 54, and she says, breathing
so
like,
important
when you're anxious is like, it's crazy. Like I did a meditation recently when I was really, really anxious about something and I was like losing breath. I did it and it just, I could breathe again. And I was like, oh, okay.
Teach me your ways.
Do a breathing meditation if you're having a freak out about a stupid relationship. Definitely do that.
The next response is from a female, also between the ages of 45 and 54. She says, meditate, massage, herbs, and exercise. Just feel good physical things.
We love a nourishing queen.
And then another female, in the ages of 35 to 44. How do you take care of yourself? What do you do to make yourself feel better? One word, wine.
The most important word, the best word, wine. We love wine.
The only word.
The only word I like.
Next response is from a male in the ages of 18 to 24. He says, positive mental reinforcement. Believe that you're awesome.
I wish I was really good at doing that. But yeah, definitely positive affirmations. Yeah, positive affirmations, really. Giving yourself that reinforcement.
It's so that healthy. Self-love. That's self-love again.
Self-love, honey. The next respondent is a female in the age range of 18 to 24. And her response was, crochet, painting nails, hanging with sister or family, chilling at home by myself, or taking a shower. Yes, showers, all the things that you'll want to
so
do.
Good.
Showers are life-changing. Like you could be having a really rough day, you get into the shower and it's like, boom, I'm a brand new person. The next response is male in the age range of 25 to 34. And he says, journaling is a huge part of me getting my thoughts down and then it's done with. I can move on. It doesn't run around my head once it's on paper and I've got it out there. Journaling is my everyday activity. Cannot. It's so good. That's how I started my blog, was journaling. That's how I got the idea for it. So if you want to journal or you're worried too or you feel embarrassed, don't. It's so cool. Like I feel like I'm in a movie sometimes like writing like, oh,
dear diary.
Dear diary.
But it's really good. Like my psychologist told me to do it. You know, it's professional yeah. advice.
Exactly. And you know what I also do sometimes? I write down what I'm listening to, like on my Spotify when I'm writing that. And sometimes if I like go through things and I want to read back and look at the lessons I've learned, I can like take myself back to that exact time. It's a really weird thing that I do, but I do it.
I see. I used to journal a lot. My friend bought me a diary for my 15th or 16th birthday. It was 2014, I think. Very long time ago. 2013. Ooh. 2013, wow. 7 years ago.
Very Jesus. Long time ago.
Which is when I used to journal the most, which is when I also used to write songs the most. It was almost hand in hand. But I have journals from my first boyfriend. And like, it's just me writing down my life as a 15-year-old. And it's just crazy to go back and read that and relive those moments as such a little child.
It's cool because then you can see like just your progress in general
for sure.
in life. It's good to document that because I don't know. I just think I look back at, you know, younger me and then I don't know. Like I just always like to see because it helps you give advice to people as well. What lessons you
learn. Yeah. It's also cool in photos. I guess taking photos isn't journaling like with a pen. I feel like it's for thoughts.
Photo journaling, like scrapbooking and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I would really love to get into that. That'd be awesome.
I think
But like what you've done as well recently is put your side-by-side pictures of when you were at your worst with your eating disorder and now and how great you're doing. Seeing that comparison just makes you feel amazing. It's the same with losing weight. When you're going through that kind of thing, it's a visual representation of how far you've come.
It's definitely, and it's sometimes I get into a lot of bad places again and just, you know, down the same track, and I look at that photo, I'm like, no, oh my gosh, I look so healthy, so good. Like, it's just so important to always remind yourself of where you've come from and how far you've come through journaling, through photos, through anything. It's very good to do that. And the last response is a male in the age range of 18 to 24. And he says, lose myself in my imagination. Flex those creative muscles.
For me, that was used to be songwriting. I don't have time to songwrite anymore. But coming up with ideas for the podcast, I guess, and then talking about it helps me.
It's what creates music is imagination, creativity, life experiences, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah. Awesome. I really like those answers in today's episode.
Yes. Well, those are all of them, so I hope you're happy with them. once again, for that one, there was no kind of percentage. It was just a question. I think from what we've seen from the answers is just, positive reinforcement, getting your thoughts out onto paper, journaling, seems to be kind of making yourself feel better. Well, duh, that was a question. Positive reinforcement, doing what makes you happy, was the general gist of all the answers.
Yeah. And I think it's important, no matter what, to go with your gut on things and just make sure you put yourself first in any situation, because at the end of the day, I'll never forget when I was at this job in 2018, it was my first proper industry job, just regarding retail, and I was having a really bad day and my coworker sat me down because it was about ex-boyfriend troubles, and she was like, you know, at the end of the day, you've only got yourself, regardless of family, regardless of friends. And that has been like engraved in my head for life. Like, I always think of that. So yeah, at the end of the day, you only have yourself, so take care of yourself while you're there.
And with that, that is the end of Survey Says Ivy the Man episode on self-care. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Talking
me
about
too.
Caring about yourself. I'm glad you listening, if that helped you at all. I'm
please
glad.
Let us know if it
please
has.
Let us know. Now, next week will be another episode of All the Things with Matt on the topic of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Woo.
And also a quick reminder that the next survey is up for the next round of episodes. So don't forget to check that out on the website surveysayspodcast.com. There's also a Facebook page and Instagram you can follow, but it's all linked on the website and the same page.
You can follow me on my Instagram at talesofablonde_, and my website is www.talesofablonde.com.
Yes, and also little exciting news is Alex got a little cameo on a.
I got a little cameo
on a, what do you call it, on the website on Nine.
So basically,
Honey.
Yeah. So my friend is a journalist for Nine Honey, so Channel 9 have a women's online blog section, and she recently interviewed me for a series called The Quarantine Diaries, and I dive into what I've been doing and my love life with it and a bit about podcasting here with Mel and blogging. So if you want to check that out, that'll be in the blog post.
Yes, that was really cool. We got a little mention, which is exciting.
We got a little mention. I did not expect that. So thank you to anyone who is listening to that has come from this platform, that platform.
Go. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. We will chat to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.